guys, welcome to Running Highs and Community Ties, the official podcast of Hills for ATL. And we have another amazing guest with us tonight. And this is episode 8. I cannot believe that we are just continuing to take off and really just having these authentic discussions where we know as a community that the Hills for ATL group is growing in numbers. But what we really wanted to do with this podcast is to be able to grow deeper. And we just feel that you can grow deeper through authentic discussions, getting to know people, getting to know their stories, getting to know what their why is. And so tonight, I'm excited to have Zamira here with us. But we get to call her Z, so yes. I'm really happy about that piece. Yes. So Z, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, yeah. I've heard so much about you. You came highly recommended, and so I immediately sent you a message on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I've just been really impressed with what I've been able to see.
Yeah.
And so you are from Philadelphia, right?
Yes, I'm from Philadelphia.
Okay.
North Philly, to be exact. I've been in Atlanta now 3 years. Absolutely love Atlanta. Love Atlanta culture.
What part are you living in right now?
I'm actually in Vining, Smyrna area. So
you're so lucky. That's a beautiful area.
Yes, it is. But I will say I love Decatur. When I first came to Atlanta, I came to Decatur and I was like, this is home. This is home. And what really inspired me was Michelle Obama Park.
Okay.
In Decatur.
Yeah.
I loved it. So here I am now.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So your family's still back in Philadelphia, right?
Yeah. So all of my family's in Philly. The only one here in Georgia, but I realized like this feels like home. It feels beautiful. The first time I came here was for business. And then I just transitioned to be like, I have to be here. Like this is my home. This is roots.
So let me know a little bit more about what you say when you say business. I think you're being a little humble when you say that, but so what do you do?
Yeah, so I own a marketing and branding firm, and it is incredible. It's called DDG LLC. With that, I'm able to really help businesses, small businesses, thrive. So I create all of the things that they need in order for them to be legal and actually have their niche audience connect with them.
Wow.
Yeah.
So like if you have like a business idea and we were to like hire you, you could help us figure out how to like have a website.
Absolutely.
And how to get more attraction and ways that are, I guess, do you help also with like the financial piece of that? Like so, advice?
So I have advisors. So my team is very diverse. So we have everything where I do the consulting and making sure the brand is a fit, because that's a big thing. Like making sure you're actually a fit for us, right? I'm not just in it for the money, thank goodness, right? So I'm definitely in it to help people, truly.
Yeah.
And then, so I do have people on the financial side who can say, your numbers are a little...
I say that because I know so many people that have these amazing business ideas.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that, you know, it's scary, right?
Yeah.
And absolutely. So that's what makes somebody like you and what you do so important, because if you can, you know, collaborate and work together and help support someone to help them get that business off the ground. Especially because it's such a scary thing. You could change their life and all the people's lives that are going to be affected by that business as well.
100%.
And coming from someone who, I have two of my own businesses, and it is not easy. I've mentioned that in other podcasts, but it is not easy. I kind of dove straight in. But having support like that would have been probably more wise.
Top tier.
Exactly.
I'm grateful to have like such a good team. And most of them are from Philly. They're here in Atlanta though.
Yeah.
So it just kind of works out.
So how often do you go back to Philly?
I try to go as much as possible. I'm actually going to be there in August. I'm putting a show together with La Russell. It's called S'mores Fest.
A show?
Yeah.
So, what do you mean?
So a music show. One of my clients, Larry Lambert, is actually performing on this show. And I was able to help with the production of the show.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Oh my God. That's so exciting.
It's very fun. Okay. So that's happening August 17th.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. So you're going to get to see family. Are they going to get to come to the show as well?
They should come to the show. Okay. They should come to the show. But the main thing is definitely just letting people know I'm back in the city. That's a number one thing. I love being back in the city because Philadelphia is full of flavor. It's full of music, diversity, art, culture. That was one of the biggest reasons as to why I moved to Atlanta too, just because it kind of replicated that in a little way.
Absolutely.
But it's also in a space where I'm like, I can plant my roots here and let people know I'm Z and I'm here.
You know, that's awesome. And you got a couple of weeks left to let everybody know, hey, I'm coming home.
I'm coming home.
Yeah. We're performing. We're doing this amazing show. Right. And I'd love to see you out there. You know, my time is limited, so hit me up. Let's get it scheduled because I know with being a businesswoman that I know that you probably, even just a few minutes ago before we even started the show, you're like, hey, you know, work doesn't ever stop.
Yeah.
And I feel you so hard on that.
Yeah.
But again, just so grateful that you are here. So I want to kind of get into how you were introduced to Heels for ATL.
Sure, great question.
Okay.
So back in Philadelphia, back home, I was actually doing personal training, super heavy. I was teaching people who are on assistance, EBT, SNAP here in Georgia, but EBT benefits, how to shop and be healthy. So I was teaching them.
Shop?
Yeah, shop.
Oh, my God. Okay.
You know, you get your EBT, you get your food stamps. And I was like, there's a disconnect. Like, people believe, like, we can only afford this, right? Healthy eating is expensive. And it's really not. It's just changing the ingredients and all the things that you really love and making them healthier. So I was having fitness classes. I was having wellness classes. Just letting people know I was doing stuff for the city at community centers. And then it just kind of spiraled into, let me teach. Like, let me teach. Like, you can walk 20 minutes a day. And then so when I came to Atlanta, I was like, I need to find my community. Because I wasn't sure if I was going to lead with, I'm a fitness trainer or I'm just doing business.
Yeah, so, you don't have to lead saying you're a fitness trainer. Just looking at you. I mean, just the definition in your arms. And we know you do something.
Right.
Okay, continue.
So with that, I was like, I need to find community. Like, it's so important. And I was like, well, maybe I'll create my own, you know? And then I was like, nah, I don't know anyone here yet. So then I found Hills, like, on Instagram. I don't even know how it randomly came on my timeline.
It's not hard anymore.
It's not hard. Hills is amazing. And so I was like, let me just go. First of all, it was, let me see how it is first. Yeah. I get there and I'm like, oh, this is boot camp. this is not the average workout. And I loved it. Like, it pushed me. And then I met Coach C, Cornell. Like, he's incredible. And I was just like, I'm here to stay. So that's really how Hills, like, became a part of my routine. I was like, I need
to
get fit.
So you
were
not afraid of the boot camp, obviously.
I wasn't afraid, but I will say it took me out. Like, the first
it's still taking you out, right?
Girl,
yesterday was pretty wild, huh?
Girl, yesterday was wild. The first one was, like, where I'm like, either I decide I'm going to do it or I'm not. And then I was like, oh, this was good. It kicked my butt, but it felt really good. And then I was like, let me come again. Oh, every Wednesday? Yeah, I'm there. So then I started being consistent and, like, not only creating a wellness routine that's free for the community through Hills, but also just within myself. I'm like, you're committed. Like, stay committed. Network with the people here. Hills community is unlike anything I've ever seen. I literally brag about it to my friends back home. I'm like, y'all don't have a Hills. So it's an experience where you meet all these people who are part of their own wellness journey, their own spiritual journey, whatever they're on, and they're able to just release it on the hill. And that's really,
I love how you say that. Release it on the hill.
Yeah.
Everything you've gone through that day, everything that's been weighing you down that week.
Yes.
I know people that are just getting off work. They haven't gone to sleep yet. I have people that are just starting their day. And, you know, when you get out there and you just connect to that energy of all the people just trying to improve themselves, even just a little bit, and then you release it on the hill like that.
Release it on the hill.
It just changes whether you're going to sleep right after or you're starting your day.
Right,
like, I don't know how much better it gets than that.
Right.
And I think you said something kind of interesting too. You, it really speaks to your leadership and the way that you value who you are and honor your life and what you're trying to bring to others. As you said, you know, you moved here and you were trying to figure out if you should even start your own community. You know, and you were just kind of like weighing those options out. And I think that I just wanted to stop there for a second because not a lot of people like, you know, even think of themselves as being capable of doing that.
Sure.
And I think that that's amazing. And I think it's people that believe that, which everybody has the capacity of doing this, but sure. You're tapped in, you're locked in, you say, hey, I'm new to Atlanta. Maybe I need to start my own community. Right. These things are important. Yeah. And I think that's just really how everything got started. And that's exactly how AB got started with everything that he's been able to do.
Sure.
And the cool thing about it is Hills for ATL is the type of community that supports and lifts up all the other communities.
Yes.
So if
yes.
you decide to start your own community or your own little pocket of something, Hills for ATL is there for it.
Yes.
And it's just like a win-win culture.
Yeah.
You know, you 100%. Win, we win. And that's the inclusiveness that is just really like taking off. Like, and that's what people are feeling. And that's why it's become such a part of my routine as well.
Yeah.
and I love being able to be like, it's free. Some people are a little weary these days. I don't know why.
Right.
When I say, let's go do something, because I've done a lot of intense like workouts lately, but like I'm being serious,
yeah,
you guys.
Yeah.
Like it's actually a lot of fun. And even just yesterday, I was out there. There was no sun.
Yes.
But there was humidity.
And there was rain.
And there was
bit.
No dust, you guys.
No dust. So, thank goodness.
But still, mm-hmm. I was taking my own breaks, and I was happy doing it. Just
yeah.
so you guys know. So you just make
you
it,
take them.
Yeah, you make it, you know, work for you
yeah.
and wherever you're at, but you're still pushing yourself. And so, is there any highlights for you?
There's a bunch of highlights. Highlights specifically to Hills was, I think it was like 90 degrees. First of all, it's already hot in Georgia to begin with, but it was like 90 degrees. And I think AB was like, bear crawls. I'm like, I'm good. I'm not doing bear crawl. And I just pushed myself to do it. The highlight was like staying consistent, I promise you. And I kept telling myself, like, Z, you're going to get up the hill. Like, you're not going to take a break right now.
Yeah.
You're going to get up the hill. He's going to call a water break soon. He's like, one more lap. I'm like, okay, maybe not soon. But the highlight for me is also meeting someone at the Mile Crushers on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I met a brand new friend. We were cheering each other on. First of all, the Ponce City market situation is bananas, because I feel like more people show up there on Saturdays.
Yeah, well, they're not working.
They're not working, right. And like, we literally take over the Beltline.
And it's the summer.
So, you know, just doing it and then inviting my friends to come. They're like, we don't work
and
out.
And it's just a mile.
And it's just a mile. But it doesn't feel like, it really feels amazing. And so like just meeting people in that space, that's my highlight.
Yeah.
Meeting new people who are also on their spiritual journey, wellness journey within Hills. Like
yeah.
it's a special community
right.
for sure.
Like the potential of you just never know. Like your best friend could be like right there.
Yes.
Like for me, I mean, I met one of my best friends last year, the first
yeah,
time ever at Hills.
Yeah,
she's.
See?
I think I could make an entire scrapbook of like all of the memories that we've had since then
yes.
apart from Hills. And so it's just bringing people together for something fun.
Absolutely.
And I could go on and on and on about this whole entire thing that's happening, whether at the beginning we weren't sure that this was going to be what took place, but that's
sure.
in fact what's happening.
Yes.
And it is growing. And
I feel like
and
it's doubled in size since I've started
yes.
going. Like it's just miraculous.
We're clocking like 500 people.
It's incredible.
Yeah. It's
like,
incredible.
Oh my gosh. So incredible.
And so, yeah, I'm really excited that you're
everybody.
A part of it now.
Yeah, I know.
So
I feel like it's family, and I always brag about it here
yeah.
in Atlanta, too. And people are like, I see you at this thing. I'm going to show up. I'm going to come. So.
And Cornell's always up there at that
oh
hill, like all the way to the top.
Yeah.
All the way to the top.
I'm like, I'm at the top, sir.
There. I'm trying not to make eye contact because they all like know me.
Yes,
but because
yes.
there's so many people, I'm like, please don't see me. I'm coming. I'm trying.
Yes.
You know, I'm out here.
Yes.
Oh my God. It's so funny. But what a cool way to like fight for something, even
yeah.
if it's just yourself in that
yes,
hour. You
absolutely.
Know? All right. So now let's get into you.
Okay.
I want to know just some positive things. Like, you know, what are some things that are giving you purpose and giving you some life?
Sure.
You know, is there any sort of like purposeful work that you've been like really, you know, focused on right now? It doesn't necessarily have to be like about like your branding and business or it can be about that. Yeah. But like, is there something that's really given you, you know, a sense of purpose right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. Truly the youth. I feel as though the youth really need support, resources, and a voice right now. There's a lot of confusion happening in the world. And I think social media makes it even more confusing because there's a lot of identity crisis, I call it, because you just don't know who you want to be, what you want to be. And I always tell the youth, like, stay authentic to yourself. Like, don't change up because you see somebody else with $1 million. You can get that million, but still be you. Mm-hmm. And so I've actually successfully taught over 300 plus students how to open their own businesses back in Philadelphia.
Stop it.
Yes, through Fortress Arts. It is a nonprofit in Philadelphia run by Dr. Valerie Gay.
We need to make sure that we tag them.
We definitely will. And so for the last 5 years, I had the opportunity of just teaching like kids from 11 to 18 on how to use their authentic gifts. I'm like, you want to open up a sneaker store? Yeah, cool. So be a vendor. Like, find different ways and teaching them like all the vocabulary and things that go into business.
What an important time of life.
Yes.
To take up some space in a child's life.
Yes.
Who's on that fast track to be grown, on that fast track to make a bunch of money and do all the things. I mean, let's be real. We can hardly even keep up with the youth. Like, the youth social media puts ours to shame.
I'm telling you.
I'm like, how do we even?
I'm not doing a TikTok.
How do I get more followers? You know, these kids are like hundreds and thousands of people and like light years ahead of us when it comes to this kind of growth. But how important is it for you to be able to have that connection with so many lives before they take off and just really getting to remind them that, you know, you have a special gift.
Yes.
And if you look around and you don't see it, you know, around you, just know that you actually have something that you're supposed to bring this world to make it better.
Absolutely.
You know, and I just think that that's incredible.
Thank you. And I really, truly have brought that here to Atlanta. So last year was my first event for the youth. It's through a new business I created called Sense and Syrup, which means like sense.
Where
like
did this happen at?
This happened at the HBUC, the is run by Travis Cochran. He is here in Atlanta, and I loved it. We honored Mickey Fax, who is a hip-hop artist here in Atlanta, but he also has the only hip-hop lyricism school in the world. It's called Pendulum, Inc.
Okay.
So I wanted to make sure I highlighted, you know, someone who already does the work, but then also like have youth artists. So I had a college student from Spelman, I think it was, or Clark, one of these.
Wow.
I had him kind of, no, not Spelman, definitely Clark. I had him kind of open up, and I just, you know, I wanted to involve school. So all students were free, every single student. And then my main goal is to also, it's really to focus on the deprivation of food, hunger. It sounds wild, but sometimes, like in high school, that's your only meal. So I made sure every single person that came, every single person that bought a ticket got a meal. So literally I'm feeding you, your mind, body, and spirit, but I'm actually physically feeding you.
Yes.
So all students are free. Any parent that brought their child was free. Anyone else, they just had to pay. Small. I think it was like $30, $35.
When did this happen again?
This happened in March. It was absolutely incredible.
Oh, my God, girl.
Absolutely
I hate
incredible.
That. I missed this.
Yeah, I wish I knew you. Like,
We'll be at the next one.
Yes. So I will make it an annual thing. I was advocating at all the universities, so it really was incredible.
That is so incredible and so
needed. And
then
we gave away scholarships. We gave away some money to kids. And then I was able to also give like an internship opportunity to students who were interested in film and music.
And didn't you say something about like you were able to just touch on some second chances and like,
yes.
you know, being able to even work with, you know, I know for me, like in one of my jobs, like I regularly have to come into contact with people that are in the juvenile justice system
yes.
and things like that, right?
Yes.
So do you ever find yourself playing a role in that?
I do. I really support people who deserve second chances. I feel like sometimes people just make irrational decisions, and unfortunately it does end us up in situations we don't want to be in.
Right.
And so being able to advocate for healing in that space and then also being able to say, you got a second chance. Like, let's make it better.
Especially if they're kids.
Especially if they're kids.
Kidding me?
Like, I'm like, your whole life is ahead of you. Like, I promise you these decisions emotional, they will go
and
away.
As sad as it is, a lot of these behaviors are learned behaviors 100%. From the household
from
that
the household,
people
yes.
are not, you know, able to really choose what family they're in or what dynamic,
yes.
where they, you know, came into someone's life that yes. also has unaddressed traumas. And
yes.
and honestly, frankly, like because of some of the research that I've been able to uncover, mm-hmm. A lot of the kids that are out there, they're getting raised by their neighbors.
100%.
Their parents are in prison
yeah.
and they're getting raised by grandmothers or their neighbors. And so they just really, they need role models just like you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that's, it's just, it's so important for our next generation.
Yeah.
I tell people it is so important to be able to understand that all the good work and stuff that we do, we may not see it instantly,
yeah.
you know, but what we're doing today is to help it change and be better for the next 20, 30 years.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
Right.
110%.
Because if we don't think and keep that perspective, then we can get jaded, we can get tired, oh, these kids don't want to listen, you know, or that person doesn't want to, you know, take that second, third, fourth, fifth chance,
sure.
you know,
sure.
but if we just stick to it, and it sounds like me and you have so much in common.
We really
yeah,
do.
I cannot wait.
We really do. And I always tell people, send me the trouble teens, like send them to me. Like if you're done with them, send them to me.
Mm.
And it's really because I think in my whole life, I've journeyed through. Philadelphia is a dangerous city. Like,
yeah.
I will be 100% honest. It's up there as, like, one of the most dangerous cities in the world. And what ends up happening is people get attached to the environment. So you think you're supposed to live this lifestyle when really you're not. Like, you're called to do greater
mm-hmm.
things. And so just having someone illuminate the light within, it allows for them to be like, you're right. Like, show me how to,
yeah.
you know.
Oh, they're gonna connect with you instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they've been discarded and everybody's tired of them.
Yes.
They're going to connect with you because you have something that they can relate to.
Yeah.
But more importantly, something that they actually can see that they want in their
yes.
life. You
yes.
know, it may look different for them, but they can see that somebody made it out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
yeah, exactly. Example. We just need some more role models in this world. And it sounds
really?
Like you're definitely that.
Thank you. You are too.
Yeah. So how do you maintain your self-care? So, like, you can't just
yeah.
be this hero in your white cape and horse and run around and try to, like, save the world
sure.
and run up and down these hills and lead the way and help people at the stores buying healthy food and all of these things.
Right.
How do you, when the day is done,
mm-hmm.
okay, and you're done talking to people, you're
right.
done helping all the kids, how do you take care of yourself?
Such a great question. I've learned to do a bunch of things. The one thing that's really been keeping me grounded is Kemetic yoga.
Okay, wait. Kemetic?
Yeah, Kemetic
okay,
yoga.
Okay, Kemetic yoga. I have never heard of that.
Yeah.
So please explain.
Sure. So Kemetic yoga, long story short version, it is really derived from the roots of Egyptian culture. So I actually follow this woman, Sarah West, who I've been following everywhere. And she does these certain poses that activate, you know, certain areas in your body that normal yoga would not. And so it allows for you to just kind of tap into, like, your higher self in a different way. It is intense. It's almost like yoga Pilates in a way.
Pilates is hard.
Pilates is hard, right. Kemetic yoga challenges you. So it's a lot of breath work. Included in just breathing and moving and motion.
Do you do this every day or a certain time of day?
Every day. So I try to do that in the morning. Like first thing when I wake up, I'm doing meditation. 7 minutes, y'all. 7 minutes.
What time do you wake up?
So
early.
Early. My body naturally
yeah.
wakes up at like 6, but I've been trying to wake up at like 5. And just, I like to be ahead of the curve. I've learned from a lot of my mentors, get it done in the morning and then you have the rest of your day, right?
Yep.
So meditation, definitely. And then I move into this yoga practice where I'm able to like open myself up and just prepare and ground for the day for whatever energy is thrown at me. I'm able to just be like, eh, I'm dodging it.
Yeah.
Or I'm making way of how to handle the contrast.
I like to say dancing with discord. You start dancing
yes.
with it.
Yes. Start
you
dancing
know?
With
you
it.
Have
yes.
to, you're like, it's going to dance with you and you just dance right back.
Yes.
You
I
stay
love that.
Super fluid.
I
yeah.
love that. So that has definitely helped. people say prayer and meditation, but there's a certain prayer that you want to say. You want to definitely say something that covers your life and the people around you, because every day we're interacting with folks. So right. It's like, yes, I want to pray for myself, but I also want to make sure those around me feel the prayer, feel the things that they need to feel. In addition to that, so yeah.
So you said it was Egyptian?
Like it comes Egyptian? It's like
so
Egyptian
who
roots.
Who introduced this to your life?
So it's so interesting. I don't even know how I found it, but what I did found.
Were you just like laying in your bed one night? I want to do yoga.
You know what? I think I was like looking up different forms of yoga or different types.
Okay.
And then someone's like, have you. It had to be in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is very strong in African roots, like very strong. Okay. So I think in that moment, I was like, well, yeah, what is that? And then I looked it up and again, found this woman, Sarah West. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm doing that. Like that feels good. And it felt good because I've never done it before. I'm that person.
Good enough to stick to it.
Good enough to stick to it.
Consistent in your life.
Yes, yes.
And you like to journal, right?
I love to journal.
Okay. So I'm trying to really figure you out too, because like from the arts part of it to the yoga to the fitness, and then you got the journal part. Yeah. You know. So tell me a little bit about that.
So the journaling is really my way to kind of express what I don't tell people. I feel like it's also my conversations with God, like where I'm really sitting there and I'm just like, okay, let it all out and then look at it on paper. It also helps me eliminate the lies that people have told me.
Oh my God, right? I cannot believe you just said that. Yeah. This is literally what I say. in my own journey, but yeah. I'll tell you about that later. But man.
So it helps me eliminate that. And it's just like, no, I'm amazing. Like there's... Although, you know, people grow up in these, again, like you said, environments where it doesn't always serve them because someone is still going through their trauma. For me, my family, and specifically, you know, just my mother and things like that, I had to learn how to figure out a way to love myself if I wasn't receiving what I thought. And so diving into journaling really helped me. Like, it helped
yes.
me kind of restructure how I wanted my life in general. Yeah. I'm like, no, let me write all these things down.
Getting it out and then putting it in order
yes.
and then just being able to become so self-aware, like, hey, if I was feeling like this and then this happened and then this happened, then maybe there was a lie I've been telling myself
sure.
somewhere in there.
Yes.
And then 100%. There's a freedom that comes from that.
That part.
But it's so hard to, like, you know, in life to not really have a safe place to express yourself.
Yeah.
And, like, if you try the journaling route like you have, you know, and you get it out there, you really start to, you start that journey towards just, like, freedom.
Yes.
You know, freedom from these things that you've kind of been thinking this entire time, but you laid it all out on paper and you see that it just doesn't make any sense.
Right. Is this really aligning or is it not?
And another thing, like I have all these goals and then this is over here. So there's more about this that's not making sense.
Yes.
How could I want these things for my life? But these are what's going on right here.
Right.
So it ends up saying, hey, these things can be let go of.
Yes. Oh,
you know,
so good. Yeah.
You know, but you've acknowledged it, you felt it, and then you are being able to be as transparent as possible with your prayer journals.
Yes.
And then you experience this freedom, and I just, you know, I honestly should get back more into journaling. Just
it's
you
amazing.
Talking about this right now and how it's like a habit of yours.
Yeah.
I got to get back into it.
Yeah.
So, I hope that anyone listening to this will also consider trying it. And also if they have other feedback for us.
Absolutely.
Of what, you know, some techniques, because I know that you and I are both like super connected to
that.
Yeah,
we are. We locked in.
Yeah. So, as far as self-care, so we have, we have
prayer,
journaling, we have the yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer. Okay. So what's your favorite thing to do after a long day? Say you're just... What brings you joy?
What brings me joy?
That doesn't involve other people.
I know. It's going to sound so funny. I really love just sitting down and being in a hot tub and just decompressing. Like, honestly, sitting in gratitude. I'll emphasize on that. Sitting in gratitude and just thinking about all the things that I'm grateful for. Like, that actually brings me joy in realizing how far I've come from
yes.
where I was. So it helps me just reevaluate, like, you've done it. Like, you're doing the damn thing. Yeah. You're here. So
it's like, sounds so simple, but what it does for us when we really do it, we really figure out, like, you know, that gratitude, there's so many things to be grateful for.
Yes.
And then I loved what you just said as far as how far you've come. Mm-hmm. You know, you have made it through things that there were moments where you didn't think that you had what it takes to get through.
1,000%. Right? I promise. Like, I promise, yes.
And without even having to know, I know that about you, right? Because I know leaders like yourself aren't just born without an incredible story of coming back and never giving up.
Yeah.
Right? And so I just think that, I think that that's just absolutely amazing. And
Thank you.
I'm going to lead into, like, we don't have like a million hours, but I would like to know, you know, what's a challenge that you're just proud of yourself for, like, overcoming?
Yeah, so currently right now I'm on my journey to sobriety. It has been amazing. We are on day 17, by the way.
I am so excited. Sobriety, yes. Okay. Yes. That is huge.
It's huge, and I love it. It's allowed for me to be super clairvoyant, clear in my thinking. I think I associated fun with, like, I'll have a drink, or yeah, I'll go out and we'll get drinks, instead of, yeah, I'll go out and let's do a hike, mm-hmm. or let's ground with nature, or let's connect somewhere else. Let's actually have, like, good fun, you know, clean fun. I'll say that. But where drinks are involved, I feel like when drinks were involved, I became a different person. And I don't know if I really like that about myself. Mm-hmm. And this journey with sobriety was not my choice. I had a conversation with God and I was just like, what do I need to do to get to the next level? Like, seriously, conversation, it felt like it was you and I. And, like, I heard, like, you have to fast, you have to surrender, you have to trust me. And I'm just like, but I want to drink. It's the summer. Like, what are we talking about?
Exactly.
Like, what are you talking about? And so going through that phase was just like, no, you can do it. Like, you can really do it. And then a couple of days later, I was like, well, how long do I have to do this? And like I said, I'm on day 17, but I got like 180 days. So the rest of the year is just done.
Listen, this is such a pivotal part of your journey.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know, you know, it sounds like it had maybe gotten a little unhealthy at some points. I mean, and that could be different for so many different people.
Right.
Right. So we don't even have to go there. But,
right.
But to be able to say, hey, and be so in tuned with your relationship with God, and then so in tuned with your drive to going to the next level. And recognizing that, hey, I don't like the way that I am, you know, that's not who I am, right?
Yes.
I want to continue to elevate my life. I want to continue to be proud of myself. And then to stay committed to something like not drinking, smoking, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy.
No.
That's not easy.
No.
And for some people, it's a lot harder than for others. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what a beautiful way to honor who you are.
Yes.
And then to trust yourself. You're trusting yourself that you have what it takes to be able to stay committed, right?
Yeah.
And every day, I mean, you're just being real. I love it. You're like, how many days do I have to do this?
Right. You up. And my friends, it's so funny. My friends, I love my support system. They've all been like, okay, cool. Like, on the 100th day, we're going to celebrate. So it's like having those people around you that are not only going to hold you accountable, but also being mindful. Like, I'm not going to put Z in a situation where she feels tempted, mm-hmm. or if she is, I'm going to let her know we're going to this party. and so things like that have been able to, like, help me stay grounded.
You're going to be able to prove so much to yourself.
I'm so excited.
Through this.
Day 100 is 10-10. How ironic is that?
Yeah, that's great.
Like, what?
But the what you're going to be able to prove to yourself, and the way that you're going to be able to trust yourself for any future commitment, even after this is done.
Yeah.
Telling you, this happens to me whenever I commit to, like, running these crazy long races and all of these things. I have no idea I'm going to do it, right? And then I go 1 mile, and then I go next mile, and I just somehow, I do it. Like, and it's, like, unreal. But, like, yeah. I trust myself to stay committed. You're trusting yourself to stay committed to this amazing goal, which comes with so many benefits, though.
I'm so excited.
It is the summer, and there's parties, and going out, and you have friends, and you're new to the city, and all of the things. Mm-hmm. But what I found, especially in a community of people that are sober, is that we can still laugh and take pictures and be so present and have, like, meaningful conversations.
Yes.
And it's okay, you know? And I think that I think the world needs to see and hear that that's a goal. I did not realize that that was going to be one of the things that you are currently, like, super proud of about yourself. Yeah. So I'm glad that you were vulnerable and shared that with us.
Thank you.
All 500-600 people from Hills for ATL can also support you in that too.
I'm gonna tell you right now, Hills is a major part of the sobriety journey. Like, just being able to have that community and being able to hold myself accountable in that way too. It helps the mental health, everything. So
I'm so grateful. Work, clarity, getting rest, all of the things.
I feel amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, well, I'm really, really proud of
that
as well.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about how your family, I know that sometimes family isn't necessarily blood, right? And I know you're in Atlanta, and you talked about Hills for ATL being, you know, kind of like feeling like that family vibe as well. Tell me a little bit about how family and community has helped support you, you know, in life so far.
Yeah.
And you can take it all the way back to your parents if you need to.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I'm taking it back.
So
my grandmother is literally everything. She is actually a holistic, well, she's a hypnotherapist, number one. And she's, like, one of the most requested hypnotherapists on the East Coast.
Really?
Yeah. She runs a business called Bucksmont Hypnosis.
What's her name?
Dawn Govan Reese.
Okay, y'all. Remember that name.
Yeah, remember that. Dawn Govan Reese. But she is incredible. And it's interesting because her journey into her spiritual journey and just hypnotherapy in general was later in her life. Like, bloomed in her maybe 40s. She's 70 now. She just turned 70 July 4th, 4th of July.
Nice.
So later in her life, she was able to, like, really have that awakening moment. But ever since I was a child, I've always looked up to my grandmother. I loved her resilience. She came up in this world at a very different time, right? So, like, we already know the
totally
U.S.
different.
Totally different time. Segregation, a whole bunch of stuff. And, like, her persistence and her resilience was always inspiring. And then to see her still moving through it, that inspired me to be an entrepreneur. She was 100% greenlighting that. Like, listen, it's going to be hard, but you can do it.
All I hear is grit.
Yeah, grit.
Grit.
100%.
Grit. Let's go.
So my grandmother definitely, and Val Gay, I had mentioned her before, she believed in me and just my career in Philadelphia. And I've been managing her brand for a while, but the way that she thinks has also propelled me, like, there's more. Like, there has to be more. Because if I can see this woman just transform people just with her words, I'm like, I can do that. Like, I can do that. So the belief inside of me was definitely poured into and continue to be worked on every day. But those people, those two, inspire me so much. So much.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. I kind of want her to, like, fly over to the East Coast so I can actually meet her.
She was just here. Is she here? No, she was just here.
Oh.
She's actually now sitting in the mayor's office. She is the chief cultural advisor of the mayor's office. It is.
Okay, well, I travel a lot, and so if I ever find myself, you said California?
No, she's in Philly.
She's in Philly.
Yeah,
okay.
So please, if you go to Philadelphia,
let's figure out some work in Philly.
Look up Val Gay. She will definitely make sure you're taken care of.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
And you know, I even think that she probably knew exactly what she was doing as you were getting raised and growing up, like, planting those seeds inside of you.
Yeah.
There's so many people that have told me personally, like, we knew that you could do this. We were just waiting for you to understand that you could.
Yeah.
You know, and it sounds like your grandmother is, like, this person that's just been feeding you seeds, like you can do anything you want and you just have to keep going. And she's led by example.
Yes.
You know?
That's the biggest thing, leading by example. Because like I said, I had a lot of different examples.
Yes.
But seeing her step into her true light, even later in life, I was just like, okay, I can do it. Like it doesn't, there's no time frame. I can just do it, especially when I feel ready.
We need to do a documentary on her.
Oh my gosh.
You know?
100%.
That should
be
something
to do. My grandma's life, yeah.
I think you can totally do that.
I think I might. I think you just inspired something.
With your branding and your business now,
for sure.
It wouldn't take long to do that.
While she's older.
She's here.
Yeah.
Look, I'm a big believer in like taking advantage of right now.
Absolutely.
Right? Which is why we're doing this podcast, because the world needs to know more and more and more about you, like now.
Yeah.
Because you're just going to take off from here. I know it. Like,
yeah,
absolutely.
So
and so I kind of want to go there.
Okay.
You know, you and I had a little bit of conversations like before we even started filming,
right.
You know, and you said something that I don't think I've ever been, I never heard it said like this before.
Yeah.
You mentioned something about creating a soft life.
Yes.
For yourself. And I think it probably pulled on me a little bit because
sure.
I think secretly deep down, like I would love to, you know, have a softer life maybe,
sure. Yeah.
You know, but like sometimes like with life, you harden up and you go balls to the wall every single day. You maximize every single minute. I even had someone else just recently say, make sure you're not just checking off the boxes every day.
So
make
important.
Sure, and I was like, oh my God, I'm a very passionate person and I love people, but I have to make sure that I'm not just checking off the boxes every day, that I'm actually living.
Yes.
So I must know, what on earth do you mean when you say a soft,
a soft life?
Because the word soft is very attractive,
mm-hmm.
and I need to know that.
A soft life for me personally, because everyone defines it differently, right? A soft life for me is really ease of mind, knowing I'm protected in all spaces that I either cultivate or I come into, knowing that I don't always have to be that leader in those moments. Mm-hmm. And naturally, I feel like I'm an alpha female, but in the spaces of leadership, I also want to feel like I can depend on whomever else to be able to help. A soft life is coming home and being at peace and knowing that you've given your all, but you're still able to, you know, give back to yourself as well, level yourself and remind yourself that you are the greatest gift. Like no one can tell you anything outside of that. And so creating that soft life is really just changing my environment, making sure that the things in my environment are feeding me versus depleting me.
Right.
And those are the, those
does
are
it
the
also aspects. Tap into what you were saying about like acceptance, like and compassion for other people too.
100%.
I keep my life soft.
Yeah.
Because I am working on the ability of accepting others with where they're at,
100%.
Instead of letting anger and resentment and reactions, like, you know, take off, right?
Yeah. I think learning how to heal from the traumas of just being reactive, because the world is so reactive. And learning how to meet people where they're at emotionally, understand that they might be expressing something to you, but that's their truth. That's not your truth. And understanding that fully has taken time. And it has helped me identify my soft life. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm good.
I think those two things go like right in line together, mm-hmm. as far as creating that soft life.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
So learning emotional intelligence more often and then not being so hard. Like people go through things. You can have a paper cut and I'm like, ah, it's just a paper cut. But to someone that could be like, that's it for them. Like they got a paper cut, they're going home. Like, so I need to be compassionate in the space of like, it's not always what I believe it is. It is, everyone has their own experience.
It does, and it helps us get through those moments when we're just like, oh, we have no idea what that person's going through or what they've been able to work through, and I'm going to be grateful for what I have worked through, and where I'm at with that is that I can have enough compassion to understand that I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
But I'm
and
like,
that's okay.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to choose something that makes me feel better, which is, you know, taking the space that I need or not reacting at all,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And so I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, I cannot not ask you about your little sister.
Yes, my little sister. She actually graduated today.
She
graduated from Upper Darby High School. She is going to Delaware State University.
What's her name?
Nevaeh Destiny.
You guys, I had to
get her whole game garbled. Like, whoa.
I had to ask her because she has talked about her little sister.
She's amazing.
We've already acknowledged in this podcast already that, you know, you are a role model to so many other, like, youth and people. Mm-hmm. This is a huge passion of yours. You've studied it. You've already made such a difference in multiple states now.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, Atlanta.
Yeah.
but the real why to your life and this push and this passion and, you know, just like your grandmother was for you, it's like now you get to be this for your little sister. Do I have that right?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. She completely inspires me. It's ironic, like, she inspires me to step up and be the example, because she does look up to me. Being competitive cheer and just also being a singer and juicing and doing smoothies at 16, 17. I'm like, and I realized it's from the things that I was doing, like, the whole time. And she has taken her own journey and she's taking it to her own hands as she's going into college. And I'm just hoping that all the things that we've talked about, from meditating to therapy to prayer, like, she's been in therapy, she's been in all the things that will help her stay her, you know, because this world is, like we mentioned, just, it can change you very quickly if you don't know who you are.
Yep. And more importantly, it can harden your heart and the resilience that you've had and the role model that you are and the example that you have placed. Like, she is watching.
Yeah.
She is watching you.
I'm so excited.
She's proud, but I love how you also said she inspires you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what it's really all about.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about, hands down. Like, so I'm really glad that you have that in your life.
Yeah.
And you're gonna get to be that role model for her, like, for the rest of her life.
I'm so excited to see where her life goes. Yeah. And I always tell her, even if you make silly decisions that we do at teenage years, I said, you have to understand that your truth is your truth. And you have to love yourself first. I said, she will tell you this. I always remind her, when you leave this house outside these four walls, they're not going to love you as much as we love you in here. And you have to love yourself first, because that's the only way you can give it to anyone else.
And even if she ever makes those bad mistakes, because it's going to happen, she's going to know that she can come to you.
100%.
And she's going to know that she can be honest.
Yes.
I think that's where we all in the world need to really focus on, that not just so much of, like, keeping people from making the mistakes, but understanding that there is a space that you can come, someone you can come to.
Yeah.
And just say, hey, I did this, and it sucks.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to take responsibility for it, but I am taking responsibility for it. But it just, I don't want to ever, you know, for me and, like, my nieces and stuff, like, I don't ever want to create a place where they feel like they can't come to me because they're ashamed. So I think that she's going to be able to come to you, the good, the bad, all of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And she has. And that's where I appreciate. That's why I'm like, all right, I'm doing something right. Like, she's feeling okay here. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure that you give her such excitement in life, too. And she's going to get to watch this podcast.
She's going to get
to watch this podcast. So that is what's awesome.
Yeah.
And so before we kind of, like, end this, we've had such good, good conversation. I've learned so much about you, your family, your business, your why, your experiences at Hills.
Yeah.
Is there anything specifically that, you know, you're running towards, like, in life? And it could be something simple. Or, I mean, I'm pretty sure that you have some sort of book that I haven't been able to buy yet. But I don't know. But if you have anything that you're running towards, we like to say it like that because we're running up hills. We're overcoming those hills. We're meeting people along the way. We have stories to tell. What are you running towards in your life?
It's so interesting you say that. So, yes, I do have a book. It's actually a poetry book, and it's on Amazon.
Even better. That's even better.
It's on Amazon. It's called Inja Heart, so I-N-J-A, Heart. The photographer was actually here in Atlanta. His name is Spencer Charles, so it's just wild. But long story short, what I'm running towards is creating a safe space for the youth. The youth is still such a big, that is major for me right now. I love doing things for adults, but I'm kind of over it. I realize that the youth don't have all the resources that they really need to express themselves. So whether it's a creative entrepreneur that's a youth, or whether it's just like a youth who's a creative, parents are doing their best just to keep them alive. Like, they don't have the extra to be like, yeah, let me get you a camera, let me get you this.
Right.
And so I want to create like a rec center, 24-hour rec center here in Atlanta.
Yes.
This will be the start of it. And I've been talking about it for a while. I have people on national boards in education. So I've been kind of getting mentorship on how does that look? Because I want to include mental health aspects. Things that, and I'm surprised there's not a bunch of mental health clinics around the same way we have everything else. There should be. And so the recreation centers, I was inspired really from being in Philly. The recreation centers were closing all around us. And I'm like, no, there's no outlet for the kids. Like, they're going to just succumb to the environment. They're not going to be able to do what they need to do. And so as I was sitting and just journeying through my own self journey, I'm like, what would I have wanted growing up? Like, and I'm like, I definitely would have wanted a safe space where, like, it could be 11 o'clock and I'm going through something, but I can do a call. Yes. Or I can show up somewhere and someone's going to be there to talk to me and just help me go through whatever it is I'm going through. So that is the long-term goal. Right now, I'll be doing these little pocket of things. I actually have a contract with Atlanta Public Schools and just a bunch of things that are happening where I'm like, let me keep tapping in, because the more that I'm tapping in and planting the seeds, as you mentioned, the more that
affirm it, baby, we are affirming this right now.
Yeah.
In this moment, it is happening. I can already see it.
Yeah. So,
and I know that this is about how Heals for HD Health can support you, but I personally, like, just with the decade of experience that I have working in the mental health field and working in Georgia, I would love to be able to, like, just connect with you and figure out how we can make this happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that it tackles the passion that we both have for, like, you know, not just the mentorship, but like the actual fitness and
100%.
Like having
free wellness classes, everything for families.
Let's learn new things.
Yeah.
But let's also have some people there that also know how to, you know, to talk you through some difficult challenges.
100%.
And that can also sit down and help you get whatever support you need to go after that career that you want to have.
Yeah.
Without pushing other things down people's throats. Like, if you don't want to go to college, okay. But
that's
if you want to go to business.
Yeah. Like, you want to learn a skill? Here we go.
Yeah.
You want to learn how to do these things? Come to the rec center. We'll
exactly.
be able to help you. So
I absolutely love this.
Yeah.
Okay.
So excited.
And then we'll be able to invite all the people from the rec center to come out to Hills for ACL. And last time I checked, this is actually growing across the country. We have Salt Lake City in the works being built. You know, there's something called the November Project, and it's actually all over the country as well. I actually learned about it up in Chicago before, but I see Hills for ATL growing in the same way all over, but with this beautiful, authentic energy and vibe of just like, hey, let's connect. Let's lift up each other. Let's lift up each other's stories. Mm-hmm. Let's lift up each other's whys, and let's support each other in building things like the recreation center or inviting the kids to come out once a week that maybe they're troubled kids.
Absolutely.
You know? Tell me that wouldn't be fun.
Yeah.
Tell me that would be fun.
That would be so fun. I said, let me figure out how to make a Hills for, you know, Hills in Philly. Like, that would just be incredible. I might have to tap into some of my folks that are trainers out there and say if they'd be interested. But
yeah, all we have to do, we'll get with AB and we'll have a conversation. You hear that?
You hear that, AB? We're going to get with you.
So thank you so much for
thank
this.
You.
Just, you've been absolutely amazing. I think I could talk to you all night. I honestly
I
do.
Definitely can talk to you all night.
I kind of forgot that there was cameras on our faces right now. But you guys, Hills for ATL, this is epic what we have going on. Mm-hmm. I am so personally grateful to have even learned about it, and now that I'm very much a part of it. We have so many things going on. We have the stairs on Monday. We have two times we're running up the hills on Piedmont Park. 6:30 in the morning, and then 6:30 p.m. if you're more, you got work going on. But come, put your clothes in the car, drive there. You can be there by 6:30. I promise to do it all the time. And then you can come check it out and see what it's about. There's so many different people. And you know, you have your networking, you know, events, and you have all this stuff. This is like actual fitness movements, and you're sweating and you're having a great time, but you're also connecting with people that you have never met before. And it's all just healthy, good, fun. And so I think they're starting something. I don't know. AB can correct me if I'm wrong, but something in West Midtown called Interlock on Thursdays. But I'd say the newest, biggest thing that's popping off right now is going to be Saturday, that Mile Crusher at Ponce. Mm-hmm. Z mentioned that earlier in the podcast. But you can find all of this stuff on Instagram if you follow Hills3ATL. You can also follow me, and I'll also be collaborating here with Z. Yeah. And so we're just going to continue to push this message of, you know, health and wellness and community as far as we can go with it. So thanks for being with us, and we will see you on the next one.
Bye-bye.